Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Anyway, it's so good to be in the house of God. And, you know, part of being one of God's disciples is what you see here. It's so good to watch and have people loving each other. You guys are talking, you guys are laughing, you guys are just enjoying being around each other. And that is part of church, right? We don't come here and look like we just sucked on a lemon before we walked in. We want to come in here and be joyful. Our God is a good God. And didn't He say that we were created in His image? I can't hardly imagine Jesus coming around with a frown on His face. So you guys, you know, be who God created you to be. So please join me in prayer. Father God, we thank You, Lord, for every person that's in this building. We thank You, Lord, that we are here not just to receive, Lord, but to give. We want to give our hearts to You, Lord, in worship. We want to praise You. We want to just come in with a thankful heart, Lord. Every day, every moment of each day, there is blessings that pour from Your throne of heaven. So we receive that, Lord, and we want to just say thank You, Lord. Thank You for who You are in our lives. We bless this morning. We bless the worship. We bless the word that will come forth. And we bless You to have open hearts, that the Lord would open the eyes of your heart this morning. And I want to also encourage you to be free in the way that you worship. Raise your hands, stand, dance, jump. One thing that Pastor Henry always used to say is that he can jump 2 feet off the ground. And I used to think, come on. But he showed me he got those 2 feet off just about that high. But he did it. So he proved it, so I can't argue with him anymore. But anyway, you guys enjoy the morning. Again, the microphone is here. God's put a word in your heart. It's during the worship time. You'll know when it is time to come and say something. So right now, this group is going to lead us into a wonderful worship time for a while. Thank you.
Have you ever been stuck in that feeling of like spinning your wheels? God, I feel like I've been going after You. I feel like I've been doing all those things, but I just feel stuck. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like you just can't seem to get out of the same normal cycle? In those moments, it's so important to go to the Word. It really is, because growth a lot of times happens in those moments when you're waiting. When you're going through something and you are just waiting and waiting and waiting. And sometimes when you get in those moments where you're waiting, frustration kicks in, right? And a lot of times that has a lot to do with our own flesh and our own thinking. When you get stuck, sometimes your mind goes to all the worst things. Oh, You've left me here. You're not helping me. I'm going to fail. Things aren't going to work. Things aren't moving anywhere. I don't know what I'm doing. But you got to stop in those moments. Because what you're letting take over is where He wants to speak to you. And a lot of times, that's just a matter of quieting the flesh. Okay, no. I'm not going to let You be what runs me right now. In this moment, I'm going to quiet and I'm going to wait for what You're saying, for Your promise, Your word to tell me what to do next. Man, I love this song. Every time I hear it, regardless of how many times I've heard it, I just love it because hallelujah, You have saved me. much better your way. Hallelujah, great defender, so much better this way. Because guys, it doesn't matter the situation that you're in. It doesn't matter what's coming towards you. No matter what, you already have the word that gives you your next move, that tells you exactly what to do next and lets you know that you're already more than a conqueror even through the waiting.
Hallelujah.
Whew. Come on. Yeah, come on. That's exciting. I don't know about you, but that's exciting. Because where you feel down and where you feel out, he says, no, you are greater than this world because I am greater than this world. You are more than conquerors because I've made you more than a conqueror. You have joy in a hard moment because I give you joy. Because I renew you like the eagle. He will give you a refreshing constantly, regardless of your place or your situation. Regardless of what your mind is saying, just shut it out. Because that's in the moment where you begin to take on exactly what he desires for you. It's easy for our flesh to tell us what we should do or what we want to do. But where we begin to see God's move in our life is when we do everything different from that. It's when we begin to realize that the flesh it's got to get behind because the Spirit is leading us in all things. Come on. There's beauty in the ashes. Because when you're feeling down and out, he's saying, no, I'm refining you through the fire right now. And you're just coming out as something greater. Don't let it defeat you because he's building you up. Don't let it bring you down because where you feel like you're the bottom, he's telling you, you're the head. You're not the tail. So stop letting your flesh tell you you are. Because that's where you stand on what he's given you. In those moments of long suffering, he's saying, just wait. Because when you come out the other side, you'll see what I've done for you. The church has got to start realizing this is where we function, is in him, not outside of him, not through regular life. Can I tell you that I'm a business owner, so logically, I have to look at numbers constantly. Where are our numbers here? What's happening with this? What's going on with that? Ooh, we got to reduce some things right here. Oh, where can we increase here? And can I tell you that there are certain moments in running a business that I've had to learn that my logic is not always going to meet what he's telling me to do. And it's okay, because in those moments where you decide, God, I'm going to keep giving and I'm going to keep doing exactly what you tell me, even when it's a little scary, is the moments where he says, that's right, because I got you.
Amen.
Sometimes it takes that. And you want to, you know, something even greater? Sometimes it takes that for you to realize it's not you who's doing it. It's him who's doing it through you.
Hallelujah.
Come on. Listen to what he's telling you. Take the direction that he's giving you. Be obedient. Surrender. Because I guarantee you that what he has for you, it's so much better your way. God, it is so much better your way.
So, you know, there's a scripture that keeps popping up to me. And, well, actually chapters. I'm going to read them all right now. No, but you know, the world's a little messed up right now, right?
Yep.
We got some big stuff going on. But I'm sure in the past few weeks you've probably heard this, or you know, you've thought of this. But in Matthew chapter 24, they talk about the destruction of the temple. And it's like, what kind of signs are we going to see before this happens? It says, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars." You know, you start hearing stuff like that, you're like, I should be afraid. What, right? Now, what kind of spirit did God give us? Did he give us the spirit of fear? No. But a power, love, and a sound mind. So why would he be telling us something like this? And then it goes on to say, but see to it that you are not alarmed. He says that at the weirdest times sometimes, huh? Do not be afraid. Do not be alarmed. And then it goes on and it starts talking about nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. And it talks about persecution. And it talks about false prophets. And then it talks about it continues to go on, but all these things, we still should not be afraid. And the reason why we have this is not so that we're living in fear, but we're living with a sense of urgency. So he goes on and it talks about the day and the hour being unknown. And if we knew that a thief was coming into our house, we would not let it happen. And then it also says that it talks about the wise servant. And then it talks about the wicked servant. And then when the master returns, what he does to either one, how one is rewarded and the other is punished. And then in Matthew chapter 25, he goes on to talk about the parable of the 10 virgins, which is another parable that tells us, be ready, be prepared. And then there's the parable of the bags of gold, or parable of the talents, where it talks about how these people are given talents and they're to be used wisely. And of course, there's one that just goes and buries it in the sand somewhere. And then it talks about the sheep and the goats, where there's a separation that happens. But that actual separation that it talks about, which is judgment, we make that choice now. Are we going to serve Jesus, or are we going to serve ourselves? One thing I always say is that, you know, I'm not what my job says I am, okay? I'm not some forensics guy. That's just pays the bills. What I am is what I do for God. So I preach, I teach. I click the slides back there like Terry. That's who I am. I'm God's child. And we need to put that before everything else, that we serve God. And don't do anything out of fear. Nothing. Because God will always take care of us. So I suggest that you read Matthew 24, 25, but look at it as something where you're not looking at it as a way of, when do I pack my bags and leave? But what is it I do with the time and the talent that God has given me when he created me and placed me on this earth? Don't waste your time. Make the decision now to do what God has created you for.
I'd just like to give you all a word of encouragement. Tomorrow's the day, marks 42 years my wife and I have been married. Wasn't always easy, not at all. In fact, let me read this from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Verse 22, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Because the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of the body. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives are to submit to their husbands in everything. You know, a lot of guys read that or listen to that, and they use it or try to use it as an excuse to lord things over their wives. But folks, we can't take scripture out of context. Let me continue. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing of the word, a washing of water by the word. He did this to present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or anything else or anything like that, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies. Jesus gave his life for the church. Husbands, you have a much bigger burden than the wife. You know, 42 years, people, I often tell people, we've been married 42 years because of two words. Yes, dear. And that's true. But those words go both ways. I guess we were married about 5 or 6 years. And we had reached a point where, hey, that's it. We're just going to give up. Nothing seemed to work between us. I was going in one direction, headstrong, and she was going in the other, just as headstrong. And then we said, you know what? We've tried everything else. We tried the counseling. We tried this. We tried the one thing we haven't tried yet is the Lord. And so we'd both been raised in Christian families. We kind of had an idea, right? But we found ourselves a non-denominational church. An assistant pastor came over to our house and sat at our kitchen table for probably 3 weeks and took us through the gospel. We accepted the Lord. He baptized me. I came out of the water and turned around and baptized my wife. See, it wasn't until we realized, it wasn't until we were able to submit to him that we were finally able to submit to each other. And so that's what it takes. It takes that submission to one another, just as we're to submit to him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. How's everybody this morning? Amen. Praise God. Hey, can we just give God a clap offering this morning? Thank you. Thank you, worship team. Thank you. Hallelujah. Lord, isn't it good? It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. It seems like I'm always in this house. Come on. It feels like I live here. How many say amen? Come on. Do you live here? This is your house too. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Wow, it's starting to warm up real nice, isn't it? Yeah. Is it, how hot is it supposed to get tonight? Today, does anybody know? 90. Ooh, perfect. How many say amen? I love it when it gets hot. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Do you thank him for the heat and the cold? Do you thank the Lord for all that he does? Hallelujah. Is there a constant thank you coming out of your mouth? Come on, man. Come on, be honest. Yeah, come on, hallelujah. Could be better, hallelujah. Praise God. We're gonna do some reading this morning because I really think that we need to read this in order to get the kind of what the feel of what God is saying. I would say amen. I mean, you know, it's good to read the Word of God. Is that right? Or if you haven't been reading lately, you're gonna catch up today on your reading. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So, if you will, turn to 1 Samuel. It's gonna be 1 Samuel chapter 15, if you will. Praise God. Thank you, Linda. Lord, bless you, sister, as you play. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, glory to God. Thank you, Father. Mm. Thank you. Praise God. Hey. Oh, man, I'm learning some stuff. Let me tell you. Praise God. Brother Steve is an excellent guitar player. Know that. You can sense that. Yeah, come on, man. Hallelujah. I thank God for the opportunity to be instructed by him. That's good. It's good for me. I mean, know it's always good for somebody to instruct you. Is that right? Yeah. The Holy Ghost is a good instructor. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. He is a gentleman, and also he'll get on you if you get right, right? If you don't do right. That's really I love about the Holy Spirit. So 1 Samuel chapter 15, praise God. Hallelujah. Starting at verse 1, the word of God says that Samuel also said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up out of Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have. Spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and donkey." I mean, this is kind of a hard word, isn't it? For God to say, hey, kill them all. Infants? Is that a crazy? Are you what, God? Are you kidding me? Infants? Yeah, it says I want you to wipe out. If God tells you to do something, can I tell you there's a reason for what he's saying. And it seems kind of hard, but God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's instructing. Hallelujah. It's crazy when you read something like that. So he says, and Saul gathered all the people together and numbered them in Telem, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came into the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said to the Kenites, "Go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou come to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. Now, did God tell him to take the king alive? Absolutely not. And he utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the oxen, and the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they utterly destroyed. Then came the word of the Lord to Samuel, saying, "It repents me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments." And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, "Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and has gone about and passed on and has gone down to Gilgal." And Samuel came to Saul and said unto him, "Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord." This is Saul speaking. "Blessed be the Lord. I've done what he said for me to do." Amen. Come on, man. Sometimes we think we're doing what God wants us to do. Is that all right? No, it's not all right. Yeah. Got you, didn't I, brother? No, I'm just kidding. Well, praise God. Samuel said, "What meaneth this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" And Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites. The people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed." We've done our thing. Then Samuel said to Saul, "Stay, I will tell you what the Lord has said to me this night." And he said to him, "Say on." Samuel said, "When you were little in your own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribe of Israel? And the Lord anointed you king over Israel. And the Lord set thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then did thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord?" Heavy words from the prophet to the king. I mean, say amen. You know, I don't know about you. I don't know if I would like to be a prophet in those days, because that king can easily get upset and say, man, off with his head. I mean, say amen to that. This guy's not going to talk to me anymore. But you see, Saul had a good friend. How many say amen to that? Samuel was a good, not only was he a prophet of the Lord, but he was a good friend to Saul. And Saul had this friend that even when God told him, hey, it's over, man. I'm sorry that I made him king. The Bible says that Saul wept all night. Is that right? Is that what it said? He wept all night because he loved Saul. He anointed Saul to be king of Israel. Samuel was a friend to Saul. Wherefore, verse 19, wherefore did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone the way which the Lord sent me. Still saying, hey, I did what he wanted me to do. Is that right? Still seeing it his way. And have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people, now here's where Saul's getting in a little bit more problem. How many say amen? Sometimes when we do something wrong, do you know it's within us to try to blame somebody else? Have you ever blamed anybody else? How many? Raise your hands. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that because it's not going to look good. I'm sorry. But the people took of the spoil, the sheep and the oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And here's a word where Samuel says, has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey, amen? Everybody say obey. To obey is better than what? Sacrifice. And it says, and to listen than the fat of rams. How many of you know the best part sometimes in it? How many cook like steaks? How many like cooking this and getting that fat that's around that steak? It makes it real nice. How many like that? You like, oh, juicy steak and with that fat, man. And it's almost like the best part. Can anybody say that? No? I mean, I like it like that. I like that piece. And God says, listening is better than the best piece. Is that right? Listening, obeying, and listening. You know, folks, we are in a time in our world today, the body of Christ, the men and women of God, people that call themselves by the name of Jesus Christ. Boy, you better be listening to what God has to say. Amen? Forget about all the voices around you. Forget about the internet. Forget about the TV. You can even forget about pastor. But what is God saying to you personally? That's where you got to be. Hallelujah. If there's anywhere we need to be today, we need to be hearing what God says and not what everybody else is saying. I mean, amen. What you hear, check it with the Word of God. If you can't find it in the Word of God, you can throw that away definitely. How many say amen to that? Somebody says something to you, put something in your ear, and it's not even in God's Word. You can't find it in God's Word, dump it. Dump it. Just get rid of it. Say, I ain't going to believe. But when somebody says something to you, check the Word of God. Make sure it's the Word of God. Make sure God is saying it. God, this is you. Show it to me somewhere else. Show it to me again. Show it to me again. And God will honor that, and he'll show you the things that he wants you to know. Amen? Hallelujah. This is a one-on-one with God. Hallelujah. Independently, dependent only on him. That's what he wants you to be. Hallelujah. Independently, dependent upon him. Hallelujah. No one else. Nothing else. Amen? Praise God. To listen is better than the fat of rams. Verse 23 says, rebellion is as a sin of what? Witchcraft. Stubbornness and is as iniquity and idolatry. Stubbornness. I want to do it my way, God. If I can't do it my way, I ain't doing it. That's stubbornness. And it's like idolatry because you're idolizing your own way. Is that okay? That's not okay. Shake your head no, Linda. No, not okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. Behold, thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and he has rejected thee from being king. And Samuel said to Saul, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice, still blaming them. Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin. Turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, For you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king. Too late, bro. It sounds tough, doesn't it? It's too late. Yeah, well, God forgives. Yeah, well, you see, he was the king of Israel. He wasn't just some guy in Israel. He was the king. He was chosen for that job. Huh? He was set up front. He was set up front. That's the name of our sermon today. It's called Up Front. As a believing Christian in the world today, can I tell you that God is going to set you up front? Is that okay? He says it in another word. He says, a man does not light a candlestick and put it under a bed or under a bushel. He will set it out in a place where it can be seen. Is that right? And folks, I'm going to tell you something. As a man or woman of God, he's going to place you in a place where you can be seen. You're going to give great light. He's going to set you up front. Is that okay? Are you okay with that? Hallelujah. I was telling a brother this morning, I've never been a person that I'd like to be a center of attention. I mean, know that. I mean, it might not seem like it to you, but I'm not crazy about doing what I'm doing. It's not something that I just can't wait to do. Can I tell you that? Hallelujah. When I was young, I liked playing baseball with the guys in Bakerville. That's where in Bisbee, there was a little town site called Bakerville, and had guys that I played baseball with, and I loved playing baseball. I love catching. I love doing that. All those kind of things. But I had a good friend. His name was Tommy Castaneda. He was a good brother, man, and I grew up with him, and we were always playing ball together, and it was kind of cool. When my dad put me in Pee Wee League, and I dropped out. When my dad passed away, I dropped out of Pee Wee League, but I always played baseball. Little League come up, the guys ask me, no, I ain't playing. No, I don't play. Babe Ruth, I was with, wasn't playing, didn't join a team, but I was with Tommy. Tommy had joined the team, and as they were having practice, I had my glove there, and they hit, you know, I was catching foul balls and stuff for them, and they hit one that, I took off after it, and I jumped real high, 2 feet off the ground, like I said this morning. I jumped real high, and man, boom, I caught it, brought it in, tossed it in, threw it into the field, and the coach came later and told me, he says, man, hey, man, I need you on the team, and I said, I got a real big problem. Right here, right now, I can do it. But if there's people in the stands or people are watching me, I just can't do it. I freeze up I don't like being looked at. I don't like being, if they hit a ball out there, I'm just going to watch it go by. I won't do what I just did. And so that's just the way I was. School, I wouldn't do an oral report. I said, no way. Well, you will not receive a passing grade unless you do this oral report. No, won't do it. Wouldn't do it. It's funny how God said, I want you to do this for me. Isn't that weird? God's ways are not our ways. How many say amen to that? Sometimes he puts you in a place where you're very uncomfortable and you have to trust in him and him alone. When I stand up here, I have to trust in him. If he doesn't give me a word, I will say, God, you will not, I'm not going to go on my own on these things. If you don't give me a word, I will not preach. I will stand up. We'll worship all Sunday morning and then we'll go home because I won't do it on my own, Lord. You got to give me something. Nothing from nothing is nothing. Amen. And I will not do it, folks. I won't do it. This is why I know that the word of God is what's coming towards me is for the body of Christ. I know that. I know it. He's placed me in a position to speak the things that he wants me to speak because he knows you can't do it on your own, boy. He knows that I won't do it on my own. So, folks, I'll tell you something. And sometimes things might sound that they're hard up here, but sometimes I will tell you that I believe that the Lord is speaking to the body of Christ. I really do. I really believe that there is something coming that's far beyond what we can even think. And we need to begin to trust his voice and what he's doing, what he's saying. Amen. Hallelujah. What verse was I on here? 22? 26. Thank you. Thanks, Fred. You're a good man. Come on. Everybody get Fred. Yeah, come on, Fred. Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it tore and it rent. And Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you this day and has given it to a neighbor of yours that is better than you. And also the strength of Israel. Listen, this is one of the script. This is what we talked about last week. The strength of Israel will not lie. How many say amen? Nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned. Yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel. Turn again with me that I may worship the Lord my God. And Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. And then said Samuel, bring here to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came to him delicately. I like that word. It's just delicately. It's kind of cheerfully. Hey, hi, everybody. Hello. Hi. How you doing? How you doing? Yeah, how are you? Yeah, hey, man. The king thought that death had already passed. The threat of death on him. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. Samuel said, as your sword has made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord of Gilgal. Kind of wild, huh? Samuel took matters into his own hands. Said, look, this is it, bro. And Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeah of Saul. Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Isn't that crazy? Never went to go see Saul again. Saul lost a very, very good friend and a prophet. Amen. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Sad story. Amen. I mean, this is one of those stories. I said, God, you know, and you know, the word of God won't hide it from you. You can say, this is what happened. The Lord repented that he made Saul king. Samuel's mourning for Saul. In chapter 16, the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing that I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil. Go, and I send you to Jesse, a Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Amen? Amen. God said, okay, we have somebody, we had Saul here, but now I've got a king for Israel. Isn't that? Saul was a king that was imposed upon God to get. Amen? The people wanted a king. We want a king like the rest of the countries around us. Can you make us a king? Give us a king. Give us a king. Samuel said, I don't think we need to get a king. We got God. No. We want a king. We want a king. So God gave him a king. You see what happened with their king. Now God is saying, I have appointed, I have chosen a king for Israel. I love it. Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with thee. I say, I am come to the sacrifice to the Lord. Call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint unto me him whom I name unto you. Samuel did that which the Lord spoke and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, saying, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come in that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this. Jesse made Shammah to come by, to pass by. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are here all your children? And he said, there remains one. There remains yet the youngest. And behold, he keeps the sheep. He's working tonight. Come on. We got him working. He's the youngest. Samuel said to Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and with all of a beautiful countenance, good looking young man, goodly to look to. And the Lord said, oh, I love this. Arise, anoint him. This is he. Whew. Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. I love that. I love when hey, where's your children? Is this all your kids? Is this all your kids? No, I got one more. He's out in the field watching the sheep, working for his father. Amen? Yes. Working for his father. And lo and behold, he's the one that God was looking at. Amen? When David was working, God was watching. Amen? When David was protecting the sheep, the lion, the bear, we know it. We know the story. God was watching him. He was a valiant man. You're going to see if we continue to read on. We're not going to read on. But we're going to see that God anoints the steps of those that are anointed. Amen? He calls for the steps of every one of all of you. How many of you know the Lord? How many of you are glad you know the Lord? Well, let me just say this to you. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Is that right? How many of you know that? Every step, every step, every step. You're going to see that. How many of you know that David didn't know how to rule? He didn't know how to be a king. Amen? He had no idea. Matter of fact, when they went to fight Goliath, the king tried to put his armor on him because I can't use these. I only know what I know. Jesus said, we speak what we know. That's all we know. You can only speak what you know. Don't try telling people about prophecy if you don't know prophecy. Amen? Amen. No, you speak what you know. What God has given you, that's what you speak. David's anointed. Samuel goes home. David go, what now? Can you imagine what David's thinking? What? Now what? Now what? Hey, David, get back to the sheep. Amen? Get out there, boy. In the midst of his brothers, all his older brothers. Get out there, man. Can you imagine the time frame? They had no idea what was happening. But God had anointed this young boy to be the king of Israel. His anointing was upon him. Woo, hallelujah. He was called, he was anointed to be up front. Amen. And you'll see through his life, we know the story, Goliath, we know all those things where Saul chased him. We know all those things because if you read the word of God, you're going to find that in all those things, God was ordering his steps because God was building a king. He was a servant, but God was building a king. Amen? Whole different story. Sometimes it don't happen right away. Is that right? Just because you got saved, you know, I mean, God has to build that within you so that you can minister to those around you. He has to build that. And sometimes it doesn't feel good. Sometimes you get chased by a king who wants to kill you. Amen? Yep. Hallelujah. How many have been chased by a king who wants to kill you? Well, yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. I just said, look at this. As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. See, David had no idea what was going on. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Do you see that? It was his Spirit. We read in those scriptures that his Spirit came upon David from that time forward. What? To do what? To build and to strengthen. It was the Spirit of God that was building David. He was a man of God in the field watching sheep. But God was building a king out of this man of God that was watching sheep in the field. He was a servant to his father. And God was saying, I have chosen him to be my servant. Is that cool? I mean, that's absolutely cool. When others saw a shepherd boy, do you remember that song? When others see a shepherd boy, God sees a king. Even though your life is filled with ordinary things. Remember that song? In just a moment, he will touch you and everything will change. When others see a shepherd boy, God sees a king. He sees a king. You're all kings. You are all kings if you got Jesus in your heart. Do you realize that? Psalm 37, verse 23 says this, that your steps are ordered by the Lord. Ordered. Sometimes they hurt. Is that right? Sometimes they hurt, those steps. But God is building something within you that you got, that sometimes, like it said in the first verse, eyes not seen, ears not heard, neither has it entered into your heart. John chapter 15, verse 16 says this. You've not chosen me. This is the Lord speaking, saying it to you. Again, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father. I don't know what's going on. Whatsoever you shall ask of the Father, he will give it to you. He will give it to you. He wants your fruit to remain. He's chosen you. He's chosen you. As I was writing this, these scriptures down, the Lord said something to me, Henry. There's people that are looking for signs and wonders and miracles. And this is what he said. Signs, wonders, and miracles are not the fruit. They are results of and results from the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is what God's talking about. Jesus was talking about the fruit that he wants to remain to you, in within you. It's not what you can produce. It's what he produces through you. Is that okay? Are you guys okay with that? That's what's so important about these things. Hallelujah. Galatians 5, verse 22 through 25. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. We're just going to stop right there. Let's just go back to that. How many of you love these? These are the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? These are not fruit that you can generate on your own. Do you know that? Do you understand that? Do you understand that you're dead? Do you understand that when you gave your heart to Jesus, you died on the cross with him? Do you know that? Do you understand that? So being that you died on the cross, that means anything and everything about you died with him. Is that okay? Do you understand that? Glory to God. 1 Thessalonians, I'm going to take you to this, and then we'll bring you, come back. Okay, Terry. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things become new. You're a brand new creature. Okay, so now let's go back to the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. So being that you passed away, being that you died at the cross, these things have to be injected into you. Can I say that to you? It's injected to you by the Holy Spirit that comes to live in your life. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Can I just say this again? Love, the love that comes from God is a different kind of love than what we understand. It's not human love. It's love. It's God's love. Is that okay? The Word of God says, you know, Peter, when I love. We always say, I love tacos. Yeah, but, you know, Peter said, because Jesus had just got through saying, he goes, I'm going to go into Jerusalem and they're gonna arrest me and they're going to treat me bad. They're going to whip me. They're going to put me on a cross and I'll be crucified for Israel, for mankind. And Peter says, not so, Lord. How many say amen? Remember that? Not so, Lord. No, no. See, because it was Peter's love for Jesus. It was his love, his own personal love that was crying and saying no. But Jesus rebuked him. Remember, get thee behind me, Satan. You see, that love that Peter had for the Lord was his human love. And God's talking to us as the body of Christ. He doesn't want you operating in human love. It's a different kind of love. It's God's love. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 that the love of God is poured out into our heart by the Holy Ghost. Did you say amen to that? Amen. That's what Romans 5 says. So the love that he wants you operating in, because you're a dead man, amen, is the love of God. The joy, right? The joy of the Lord is our strength, right? Whose joy is it? The joy of the Lord. It's his strength. The peace of God that passes all understanding, shall he keep your hearts and your minds. So whose peace is it? It's his peace. It's his long-suffering. You know, God is long-suffering in the, not willing that any should perish. How many know that? God is long-suffering. He's gentle. Can I say that to you? He's very gentle. Can I tell you? He's good. Jesus, when they said, good master, he had a question. He says, good master. Jesus goes, why do you call me good? Why do you call me? Jesus said, there's only good, one good, and that's God. Jesus was actually saying, the reason you're calling me good is because I am God. That's why you're, see, do you understand? The goodness comes from God. None of this, folks, is generated in the man, in the man out of your soul. You can't do it. You cannot do it. It's all through him. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Faith. Faith. Not even your faith is yours. Is that okay? It's not yours. The Bible says that he gives you a measure of faith. The Bible gives every man or woman, if you want to say, a measure of faith. He gives you that measure of faith to get to Christ, to find out when God speaks something to you, hey, you're a sinner, you need a savior. He gives you that faith to turn around and says, yeah, you're right. But when you give your heart to the Lord, that little faith that you had that he'd given you, it's severed. Now the faith of God begins to work in your life. Do you understand that? Galatians chapter, well, let's just read it. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, I think it is. Verse 22 through 25, read this. I think you might have to go back to verse 20. I think it. You don't have 20. Galatians 5. No. Sorry, brother. Galatians 5. I'm sorry. Galatians 2. Can you put that up? Put up 2:16. Look at this scripture. The faith that God has given you. Galatians 2:16. I'm going to say this to you. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified. Look at it. By the faith of Christ. You see that? He said it, mentions it twice in there. You are justified by the faith of Jesus, right? Not your own faith. Folks, we died. We died. And now God is resurrecting you by the things you go through, all the stuff that the steps that he takes you through, he's resurrecting you. And now you're operating not by your faith, but you're operating by the faith of who? Can I tell you, that's a lot more powerful faith than you can even imagine. Whatever Jesus has done, whatever God the Father does, it's that same faith that he operates when he says, light be. Poof. Let the heavens be separated from the fountain. Boom, everything began to happen. It's that kind of faith that is dwelling in you. Do you understand that? And it comes to you via the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, who hovered over the waters when God created these things. Amen? Amen. Come on. That's the faith that's in you. It's more powerful than you can even imagine. It's not you, it's him in you. him in you. You see, folks, you are created to be up front. You are created to be a light. So bright, you outshine the sun. Outshine the sun. Is that correct? Because of who it is that's within you. It's happened. Amen? Amen. Can I tell you that Moses come off that mountain and he didn't even need a mountain. He didn't even need a flashlight coming down. I mean, there was light shining all around. His face was glowing. Is that right? So much that he said, hey, man, put a curtain on your face. How many? That sounds kind of funny to me, man. But, you know, hey, cover your face, man. You're created for this. Galatians 5, 23 to 25 again. We'll go back to that. Here we go. But the faith that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and such against such there is no law. Do you see where it says against there is no law? Do you see that? There is no law against those things. Because they are the fruit of the Spirit. Is there any kind of law against God? There's nothing can stand. As a matter of fact, this in itself is called the law of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 2 says this. You shall know the truth. No, Romans chapter 8, verse 2. Says this. Sorry. Romans. I can give you that. Didn't give it to you. Well, this is a good scripture. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Amen? I'm just amen to that. Come on, man. You will. You'll know the truth. Hallelujah. And it says that verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Do you see that? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is. These things, it says, there is against these, there is no law. There is no law against the fruit of the Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The Spirit is the law of life. It really is. It is life's law. Joy. Peace. I don't want you, any of you, to be a lawbreaker. Amen? You need to live in peace. You need to live in joy. You need to live in all these things. Kindness. Amen? Hallelujah. Long-suffering to that guy that eats your face every time you talk to him. He's chewing you out. Long-suffering towards them. This is the law of life in your life. Amen? It's the only life. It's the Miller High life. Amen? Come on, man. Yeah, I thought I better say something to get you awake. Hallelujah. It's the law of life. Hallelujah. God wants you up front. He wants you to be operating by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you something? You cannot operate by the gifts of the Holy Spirit by shutting him out. Amen? He is the key to the body of Christ. He really is. The Holy Spirit is. He's the one that's leading you and guiding you and teaching you and training you. Amen? Hallelujah. How many like Jeremiah 29:11? Some of my favorite scripture. How many like that? I know the thoughts, the plans that I have for you. Amen? Look at this. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of what? Peace. Amen? Not evil. To give you what? An expected end. Whose expectation? Yours or his? His. Come on, man. He wants to bring you to an expected end. He's trying to get you there. Amen? Quit resisting him. Amen? Quit doing the things you're doing and saying the things you're saying. Yeah, come on, I'm not saying that. I'm not looking at anybody and saying that. I'm just saying, hey, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to take us to where he wants to go. He's wanting to take us to an expected end. Is that okay? Is that all right? Look at it this way. Psalm 40, verse 5 says this. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which you have done. And then he says this, and your thoughts which are towards us. They cannot be numbered or reckoned up in order to you. If I would declare them, they and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Is that right? How do you like that scripture? Amen. His thoughts towards you are even more than can be numbered. Is that okay? Do you understand that? That's really crazy. His thoughts towards you are numerous. He's got a lot of things he's thinking about you. You can run, but you can't hide. These things are the thoughts of God that he has towards you. Look at this. Psalm 139, verse 17 says this. How precious are your thoughts to me, God. This is David speaking. Because David was a man that was just a shepherd boy, but raised to be what his men, when he was older, they said he was the light of Israel because of what God had drawn him through, taken him through, built in him. He was a psalmist. He wrote psalms. And he went through some stuff. How many say amen? And he got, and see, and this is David saying, how precious are your thoughts to me, O God? How great is the sum of them? I like that. How many are mathematicians in the house? How many of you like to count? 2 + 2 is what? Yeah. That's why I asked how many were mathematicians. Not everybody's a mathematician. Praise God. 2 + 2 = 4. You see, there's a sum line in that, right? There's a line that's drawn, and then 2 + 2 = 4. I can get that. I'm pretty good at that one. Hallelujah. He says, how great is the sum? See, there's a sum line that God says, this is what I planned for you that I'm taking you to. There's a sum line of all his thoughts, of everything that he has. Can I tell you something? That sum line, what the sum is, what the outcome is, oh, that you might be like Christ. That wherever you go, whatever you do, Christ will be glorified because he's dwelling in you. And man, people, this is where we'll see the healings and the amazing things that are spoken in the Word of God. We'll see them. Because the sum line is complete within you. And now wherever you go, people will see the light of the gospel through you. There's some of you already, people walk up to you, but why are you smiling so much? Or what is it about you that's so attractive? It's the gospel of Christ. It really is. But God wants to amplify that today. He wants to bring that out today so that more and more people, Father, will see the light of the gospel not only through you, but in you and all around you. Peter walked with an anointing that was upon his life so strong that as he walked by, his shadow would fall on people and they would get healed. God says, oh, I got so much more for you if you will listen to my spirit. Last of all, I just said, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 says this, and a lot of you know this one. And this to me is the scripture that I could preach this scripture every Sunday. It's not how precious also. No, sorry. Then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, that everybody say it with me. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. By his spirit. By his spirit. It's not by might, the power of mankind. It's not by that. It's not. It is by his spirit. You're going to touch people's lives because of the spirit of God that dwells in you, and his spirit will go out and touch those lives. You can be comfortable if they say no to you. Have you ever had somebody say no to you? How many ever told you somebody, shut up. Don't bring me that religious stuff. Oh, you don't know. This is not religious. It's a life. Sure, be quiet. We don't speak politics and we don't speak religion in this establishment. I don't either. I speak Christ. I speak Jesus. Hallelujah. That's the word. God wants you to shine brighter than you ever thought you could ever shine, because he wants you up front. He wants you to be led by the Spirit. See, we have to be led. Is that right? The Spirit is up front. So if he puts you up front, it's because he's up front. Do you understand that? He desires for you to be led by his Spirit and his Spirit alone. It's no more like we used to be, you know. It's no more like I grew up in church. I grew up in the Catholic Church, and I grew up in another church. And when I got born again, and it was like we had to go do things just to, you know, hey, let's go bang on doors. Okay, yeah, we go bang on doors, and people, hey, Jesus loves you. Okay, we'll go somewhere else. Hey, Jesus loves you. Are you Jehovah's Witness? No. Okay, I'll talk to you, whatever. Hey, it's not like that anymore. God is saying, you better know me and better do what I ask you to do. Obey my voice. Listen. Is that right? Okay? Listen. Everybody say, listen. Look at your neighbor and say, listen. Look at listen well. Look at him again and say, listen well. Hallelujah. Folks, we're in an age that the world absolutely needs the body of Christ more than we can ever see. More than we can ever say. And we have to be connected, not to what's going on in the world, but what's going on in him. When he talks to us, then we're connected and go and do what he tells us to do. Amen. Amen. Don't no more messing around. Everybody say, are you tired of the church looking like it's dead? Hallelujah. Come tell you what, man. There's a lot more folks in here than you realize. Amen. Amen. Yeah. You guys don't get that. Okay, we'll give it to you. Praise God. Can you stand? I'm going to pray for you real quick. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, I thank you for your word this morning, God. I just pray, God, that you would, Father, quicken your word in the hearts of your people, Lord. God, cause them to know the things that you are speaking to them personally. Father, do not let them, Father God, do not let them. Oh, God. Father, don't let them miss anything that you're thinking about them. Father, let them receive all the things that you have for them, Father. Because I know, Lord, when this begins to happen, your body all across this globe, Father God, will see the workings of the Lord in a mighty way. And Father, we thank you for that. Hallelujah. Touch your people, minister to them, Father. As they go out today, Father God, let them hear your Spirit speaking to them. As they go to bed tonight, Father, Holy Spirit, speak to them. As they rise up, Father, first thing in their ears, Holy Spirit, say something to them, Father, what you have for them. I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it, God. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Hey, turn around and say, and shake somebody's hand. Remember, we've got cake here and no ice cream. You guys are excited about that, huh? No ice cream. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thanks for coming today. We love you.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.